Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Someone... Texter says, in response to me saying that my four horsemen of the Astro apocalypse were Altuve, Bregman, Correa, and Springer, because they all came up through the system. And someone says, what about Yuli Gurriel? He didn't really come up. They signed him from Cuba. He was there for all the championships. He's right there. I mean, you look at any, Seth, you look at any list of playoff performers and counting stats at first base, and Yuli's on the list. All these guys are. Correa, Altuve, Bregman, Yuli. Anybody who's here for both World Series championships,
yeah,
or close to it in the case of Correa, they're all near the top of the counting stats at their position for things like home runs and RBIs and stuff because they played so many freaking games. You know, like they played so many games.
I think the other part about Yuli, though, is that he was the part of the Cuban pipeline that the Astros would become. And like so many of the young Cuban players looked up to Yuli Gurriel, and I think it was he was a bigger asset in the organization maybe than we could appreciate because we don't have that same perspective.
Yeah.
So like Yuli, I mean, because the Astros at any given time, I don't know where they are right now, but for a long time they had by far the most Cuban players in their entire system, and Yuli was the start of that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, one of the most prominent of the Cuban players that they'd signed.
He was, and I appreciate everything Yuli did. I think the difference, and if you missed the segment, we were kind of talking about, it started with talking about Klay Thompson leaving the dynasty of the Warriors and given where they are now, kind of how that probably feels like, all right, this feels like, this might really be the end. And we kind of drew the analogy to the Astros with Springer and Correa leaving, and they actually kept the dynasty going a little longer and have kept it going a little longer. I think the difference with Yuli and those other guys who left is that with Yuli, it looked like it was time to leave. You know, like Yuli.
That's true. It
Springer
wasn't necessarily.
And Correa,
yeah.
They got $30 million a year contracts from teams, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
Yeah, yeah.
And Yuli was kind of bipolar in his performance. It was, remember, one good year, one bad year, one good year, one bad year.
Won a batting title. Like, second to last season. It was crazy.
As Carlos Correa wouldn't shut up about how nobody cares about batting average anymore. We're like, hey, man, just like. Hey. They're giving a trophy to the guy in your same infield.
Yeah, right.
He's
now.
Standing right there.
Yeah, like Carlos is giving an interview to somebody about how stupid batting average is while Yuli's getting a trophy. Come on, man.
Based on batting average,
Adding Bay Idol Tay. Hmm? So, Seth, you, my friend, got the Barrett Sports Media treatment here from Jason Barrett's website.
They wrote about me in the trades.
Yeah.
That's how we talk about in the biz.
Yes, in the trades.
Hey, this is basically the Hollywood... this is the depressing Hollywood reporter of the sports radio world.
It is.
This is exactly the same as Matthew McConaughey getting a write-up in Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah.
This is me getting a write-up in Barrett Sports Media.
Yeah. The title, the headline, Seth Payne, Mike Tannenbaum did not understand the assignment during his first take appearance. All right, so we don't have the audio of us or Seth saying that, but I guess just to set the stage here, here was Stephen A. Smith.
We're not the kind of Cracker Jack operation that can go back and find audio of our own show.
Well, the article just popped up like 5 minutes ago.
I know.
I mean, still, ESPN would probably be able to find it. Ben, this is not disrespect to you. We're not expecting you.
Oh,
to
no, no. We did this. We just realized this 5 minutes ago.
Yep. So here was Stephen A. Smith. Still, I think it's still a good topic, actually. Probably a lot of people didn't listen yesterday. If you missed it, over the weekend or on Friday, Stephen A. Smith, they had a debate on which quarterback you would start a team with in the NFL, not named Patrick Mahomes. And Mike Tannenbaum, the former GM of the Jets, has gone on multiple outlets and said his guy would be Jordan Love. Stephen A. Smith knew this and looked over at Mike T. and said, "You're crazy for taking Love over C.J. Stroud."
Let's look at C.J. Stroud. Third quarterback in the last 50 years to lead the NFL in both passing yards per game and touchdown to interception, you know, turnover ratio.
Yep.
What are you talking about? This brother had a 157 passer rating in his first playoff game against the number one ranked defense in the NFL, which is Cleveland. We saw what the man did during the regular season. And by the way, Mike T is younger than Jordan Love. I mean, what are you talking about? You're brought
cheaper.
Younger and cheaper. You of all people, as cheap as you are, you actually going to sit up there and say that somebody who is more expensive, older, and on top of it all, didn't have the numbers that C.J. Stroud had or somebody
Stephen you would A. take hold.
All right, so that was, we should mention Ryan Clark is on this panel too. You're about to hear him in a second here. So that was
and Stephen. The topic is, again, who would you draft to start a franchise
That's
with?
Right, that's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Regardless of who you have around you at the given moment or anything, who would you start a franchise
yep.
with?
So Tannenbaum, who's been crescent kicked in the head multiple times verbally by Stephen A. Smith at this point, he gets an opportunity here to explain himself with the Jordan Love over Stroud take.
Let's go back to that Dallas game. That was a knockout punch. They went up and down the field against a really good Dallas Cowboy defense. We talk about all their struggles.
Aaron Jones running the football helped a lot.
No doubt about it.
All right then.
Yeah, but that Houston didn't run the ball last year?
Houston didn't run the ball. They Houston, didn't run the ball Houston, that much, Mike Tate.
With Bobby Slowick, Houston didn't run the ball. That's why they went out and got Joe Mixon. Houston was about C.J. Stroud from start of the season to the finish of the season.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then,
when Stephen A. Smith says they did attempt to run the ball a lot. They did not run the ball well.
Yeah.
They were not a good rushing football team last year. But they did keep feeding the rock to fuel the play action, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. Last one here, and I think this is the one where Tannenbaum kind of exposes himself.
You got to know how to take the L, Mike. That guy RC with me.
He's changed. C.J. Stroud changed an entire organization.
I like C.J. Stroud. It's not. This is not against C.J. Stroud, but what I'm saying is when you look at what Jordan Love did after sitting for 2 years and the platform he has now, to me, like, when you look at those young skill players, when we're talking about them in November into the playoffs, they're going to be unstoppable on offense, not just this year, but going forward. And they got the one piece they needed, Morgan, the left tackle. I think you
can throw down with Diggs as wide out with Stroud throwing the football. I mean, that's not a big deal. 2010 to 2023, 43 quarterbacks were drafted. 43. One of them won a playoff start as a rookie. One is C.J. Stroud.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is so basically what you heard there was Tannenbaum moving the goalposts, because the assignment was who would you take to start a franchise. Tannenbaum, cornered as he was, turned it into like, hey, look at all the tools around Jordan Love and how well he's going to play this year. That's moving the goalpost is the last refuge of a scoundrel, Sean.
That's right.
I think Thomas Jefferson said that or something.
Right.
What the hell are you even doing there? You were a GM for the Jets.
Yep.
How do you not even understand the assignment?
So the article on Barrett Sports Media hones in on a couple of things here. Just the appetizer is the part where, as Ryan Clark and Stephen A. Smith pointed out, the Texans did not run the football well. Mike Tannenbaum seemed to imply when he's like, oh, the Texans didn't run the football, that they actually were good at it. They weren't. The article points out how I mentioned that. I mentioned that Tannenbaum got kind of exposed there by those two guys, and so that there's just blood in the water at that point. The article then says, the program played the clip in which Smith told Tannenbaum he has to know how to take the L, that last clip right there. Tannenbaum continued to affirm how impressive it was to see that Love did what he did after sitting on the bench for 2 years, especially with the Packers adding an offensive tackle in Jordan Morgan. Smith replied by asking about Stephon Diggs. Payne expressed that Stephon Diggs joining Houston. They tell the story, Seth, about it. They immediately go into the story about how you sent the clip to Mike Meltzer, a former co-host and a fan of the New York Jets, the team for which Tannenbaum previously served as GM. The reason he sent him this clip was because he wanted to know which one of two aspects of the conversation annoyed him more, either Tannenbaum's opinion of the fact or that he, quote, didn't understand the assignment of the situation. I think so far you're getting treated fairly. I think
that's all very fair.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
They've been pretty fair ever since we pointed. They had printed an article once where I was kind of jokingly accusing stealing my take. Ross Tucker. Remember, I accused Ross Tucker of stealing my take, which he did, but he told us he was going to steal it. And I said, like, I did a 3-minute spiel about Ross, you know, stealing my takes.
Yeah.
He's like classic Princeton move, all this. And they printed it like I was dead serious.
So funny.
Like I
so funny. No, in this case, you were dead serious about Tannenbaum.
Yes, yes.
The argument was about, this is a quote, they're quoting you directly here. The argument was about who would you pick if you were starting a new franchise, And Tannenbaum turns it into, hey, look at how good he could be this year because he's set up for success on this team. Like, yeah. That's not the assignment. You don't even understand the assignment, and you're running an NFL football team. End quote.
It's like he's trying to, we need a running back. Okay, yeah. What do you think about this defensive back?
Yeah.
My God.
they mentioned that Pendergast agrees with Smith and Clark in this instance, preferring Stroud over Love. Yeah, no bleep, Sherlock.
Yeah.
Furthermore, he stated Smith can probably realize when all he needs to do is yell while someone else is talking in order to get them to back down. The fact that Smith started to scream and would not stop was something Pendergast considered to be really funny.
Did they point out that I disagreed with your take and those tactics?
They did not.
In this era where I just want a little bit of civility in public discourse, Sean, that maybe shouting people down isn't the right move?
They didn't mention that, Seth, and they probably should have. Is this unfair treatment?
Yes. They should have pointed out that I am a shining beacon of light for those who would demand more from our public discourse.
Yep,
yes.
Yep. Winding down the article here. As the discussion surrounding Tannenbaum on First Take came to a conclusion, Payne recalled the time the show interviewed him on Radio Row. To be clear, that was you and Meltzer that interviewed him, not me and you. Yeah, they just called it the
show. On Radio Row in New York City.
Yeah, back in 2014. Tannenbaum was working. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. Tannenbaum was working as an executive with the Dolphins at the time, and Payne recognized that he was consistently scanning the room and not seeming engaged in the conversation. While he remarked that it can be a successful strategy for some people, he perceived him to constantly be thinking about who to speak with next. Pendergast said, he's a willing networker, but a bad networker. It's all about networking, man, but you got to make sure that the people you're in a conversation with realize you're at least giving the impression that you're engaged with their conversation.
Yeah,
and quote. I think that's good advice by Sean Pendergast, person quoted in this article. Yeah.
Remember, that was one of the quotes about Easterby from somebody who had, one of his previous stops was that, like, you'd be in a conversation with him. If somebody higher up in the organization walked in, he was like, beeline to that dude. Like, he'd abandon your conversation. Classic Easterby move.
All right, so how do you rate the treatment? I think this is really more
very
just
fair.
A recap. Yeah.
Very fair, which makes for a boring article.
Yep.
So, in their fairness to us, they are sacrificing clicks, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That takes restraint. Thank you.
Yep. I stand by everything that I said in that segment yesterday.
Oh, yeah, me as well. Just from that one interaction I had with Tannenbaum, I would never give him a good recommendation to...
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Anybody for anything for any reason, which doesn't amount to a hill of beans in the real world for, like, how it affects Tannenbaum, except that I suppose there's probably other people that he's come across that feel the same way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Like, oh, this guy.
Yep.
All right. Whatever.
Yep. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. All right. Let's circle back to the – I say circle back to the Texans. The Texans were kind of in that. We'll get to the Astros as well and get you set up for tonight's game. Yeah,
you know what they didn't mention in that, Sean?
What's that?
Was that I said that he was either scanning for the next person to talk to or looking out for the feds. So I think that's where I think they realize, like, okay, like Seth was saying that as a joke. If we put this in print, it maybe looks into something more scandalous than it was meant to be.
That would have been funny if they took your. Because here's the thing: this is the danger. If they're going to take everything you say at transcript level.
There's a lot of stuff I say.
You're sarcastic every segment at some point, you know?
Yeah.
That would have been great. Payne, accuses Tannenbaum of dodging feds. That would have been better. That would have made for a more fun article, for sure. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. The celebrities now coming out of the woodwork for the Texans. That's how you know you're on you've got a Super Bowl contender on your hands. Who's a celebrity going to bat for the Texans against one of their evil division foes? We've got that for you. And man, I'm literally going to need a map to survive college football this year. The Athletic did something that just made me chuckle yesterday about college football. We will get to that coming up next.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
When you get some celebs on your side, that's a sign that your team is really taking the leap here. Here was Parker McCollum, country music star from the Houston area, a card-carrying fan of all the Houston teams, if you follow him on social media. He was on the Pat McAfee show last Friday. He was in studio, in the Thunderdome, as they call it. And McAfee, of course, former Colt, hates the fact that the Texans are good, likes the Texans, hates that they're good because it's bad for his Colts. Here was Parker McCollum showing some of his Texans love.
You Houston Texans fans have to be so pumped for this season, more so than ever, maybe, in the entire history
certainly
of the franchise?
Certainly more so than ever. Yeah, with by a mile, 100%. I mean, you think about, I think we won two games. I think we maybe won three or four games. They threw the, you know, Davis Mills threw the Hail Mary year before last game of the season. Yeah. We would have gotten first overall pick if he dropped the ball. Mm-hmm. Against the Colts, we win that game for no reason at all. Everybody's freaking out because we don't get the number one pick.
All right.
Again, it's a God thing. That just, thank you for that touchdown. That was completely meaningless and turned out to be very meaningful. And then we get DeMeco and CJ at the same time. Now we've got Joe Mixon and Dalton Schultz and Tank Dell. And dude, if they stay healthy, I mean, we're talking.
Yeah, but did you see what Anthony Richardson just did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do we have to show the video?
Do you think he'll be windmilling on the football field as well?
This is actually what his spike is after he scores touchdowns on every. So good.
Yeah. I'm glad CJ and Stephon Diggs are on the field throwing balls and Anthony.
Shows
where the culture is.
CJ Stroud with sumo wrestling in Japan.
We got our priorities right.
Okay, so I should have set that up better. The last 20 seconds there where there were some pauses and McAfee sounding, sounding very satisfied there. They were showing a video, actually pretty impressive video, I'm not going to lie, of Anthony Richardson doing some windmill dunks, probably in that court that they have there at the McAfee Studios, and they were, you know, they were drooling over that.
They shouldn't have been drooling over that, because one of the big issues with Anthony Richardson in the past is that he's a parkour enthusiast, mm-hmm, who loves doing backflips and parties and what have you, to the point sometimes of injuring himself. And he, I wouldn't want him anywhere near a basketball court. So, but I'm glad that he's doing it. If I were a Colts fan, I mean, basically, if I were an inbred dullard, is what I'm saying.
Right,
but I'm not an inbred dullard.
No.
Just a run-of-the-mill dullard.
Right.
And I'm glad he's doing it as a Texans fan.
I thought McCollum.
Parker McCollum has been a Texans fan publicly before.
Has he?
So, I've seen stuff. So it's not like he's just jumping on a bandwagon right now or anything. And I think through that, I can remember seeing some clips of him talking about the Texans, in those dark days. So I will give him credit for just being a steadfast Texans fan and genuinely excited about them, I think, not trying to just get social media clicks or anything.
Yeah, he did I thought he did a good job with McAfee there. I thought he did a nice job of saying that the Texans culture is in place because their quarterback's not doing windmill dunks. He's out there throwing with his teammates.
Right. He's out there working on his craft.
Good retort.
Not his basketball game.
Good retort by McAfee that CJ, what about the sumo wrestling with Micah over in Japan?
and playing in celebrity all-star basketball games and what have you. But that's neither here nor there.
Right,
neither here nor there.
And Parker did a great job of ignoring McAfee when he said those things. Good job, Parker.
Okay, now wait a minute, though. It does occur to me that at some point, if the Texans can deliver on the promise that they have right now, they will have some bandwagon celebrity fans. Because right now, do they really, other than like the local Houston rap community, and I don't know if I include 50 Cent in that right now or not, and or whether he's like actually a hardcore Texans fan or not, but the number of actual celebrity Texans fans, I'm at a loss. This is a good one for the text line. 713-572-4610. I mean, Parker McCollum mentioned right there that God seems to be a fan of the
Texans.
That's
a pretty big celebrity.
That's
dude.
A big celebrity.
Yeah.
That's a big celebrity.
Yeah. Everybody knows him.
George and Barbara Bush for a long time were our most famous celebrity fans, but that doesn't quite apply anymore.
Yep.
J.J. Watt doesn't count. So who are the most famous
Can we count
Texans
him?
Fans?
Like, if we're so deficient in celebrity fans, like...
He does appear on the McAfee show regularly.
Does, yeah, he does. Okay, I've just... 13 of the Houston Texans' most famous fans, okay? I just found this article. This is from...
I'm gonna give a ding for the ones that actually ding it for me.
Okay, Dennis Quaid.
The
actor, a Houston native, has reportedly been spotted at Texans games over the years. That's the explanation.
Wow. I didn't realize he was that big a fan.
He went to the games, dude. In 2021,
spotted.
That was kind of the measurement. 3 years ago, that was the measurement for actually being a Texans fan. Is like, did you go to the game? Yeah.
Was he a fan, or was he just like doing research for a movie about desolate?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
Click to Houston.com is where I found this. Joel Osteen.
Is he an adamant Texans fan?
This is what it says. Osteen, the mega church pastor, confirmed in 2015, I'm a big Texans fan, mainly, but I love playing football or watching football and playing sports, end quote.
I'll give it a ding on that. He's bona fide nationally known.
Need what we can get.
There you go.
George Foreman.
Okay.
George Foreman. There have been some questions about who...
These are not A-listers so far, Sean. I mean, Dennis Quaid would be an A-lister for our age group. Yeah. But I'm not 100% convinced that he's like an actual passionate Texan.
I
gotta
see the date on this article just to see like where like when this was. I can't find the date on this thing. Here's what they say about Foreman. There have been some questions about whether the former heavyweight champ really favors the Cowboys or the Texans.
Oh.
But nothing says diehard like not knowing who they're rooting for.
I retract the ding.
Yeah, yeah. Foreman's been photographed in a Houston jersey, and he held up a Go Texans towel before the coin toss of a wild card game.
He was photographed when they give him the jersey as part of that appearance.
Field advantage captain. That doesn't make him a diehard fan.
No.
Simone Biles.
Oh, hell yeah. Yes. No, well, wait a minute, though.
I think she's still a fan of the Texans, right?
She's got to be.
She's from here.
She's a Houston native. And okay, that's an A-lister.
Yeah.
I mean, she's also a fan of where her husband plays, but more like after his career is over, she'll be a Texans fan. Okay. I've got a picture of her up in my office. You and me and Simone.
I know, me too. I have that one up. That's one of my favorites. Okay.
My wife's volleyball team came over and saw that, and I could not have been a bigger deal in their minds than the fact that I had a picture with Simone Biles. Yeah.
Let's see. Jose Altuve.
I can't. I just did.
They're picking all these people who were named the home. They cite in here that Jose Altuve was the home field advantage captain at a game.
When was that again?
Hey, Jose, I heard you're a big Texans fan.
When was that again?
And then they list Paul Wall and Bun B. We already knew them. I'm sailing past them, not because we need to we know they're big Texan fans.
Cited the Houston rap community. Been very a lot of those guys were, you know, vocally Texans fans before they got religion.
Yep. Let's see.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it.
What the hell?
Oh, no, wait. Rico Rodriguez is on here. He's in Modern Family. And he's on both this list on Click 2 and a texter sent it in.
Okay.
And he's been the home field advantage captain at a game in 2016. We need celebrity fans who haven't been coerced into being a fan by being the home field advantage captain.
Like Reed Shepard at his press conference said, well, I'm an Astros fan now.
Yeah.
Like, hey, come on, Reed. Are cocaine no good for you? What the hell? We'll give what you want, baby.
Did you see some of that footage of Reed Shepard mic'd up at the draft? Is hysterical. He's super nerdy. I love him. He's really nerdy. Someone said Stephen A. Smith seems to be a big Texans fan. Yes, based on the audio that we played in the previous segment, huge Texans fan.
You know what the most famous one might be, and I don't know if he's genuinely a Texans fan or not, but I think like if he had to choose an NFL team, Jim Parsons. From Big Bang Theory.
Let me see.
He's from Beaumont, right?
Paging down. Jim Parsons is on the Click 2 Houston list. He's at the bottom.
There you go.
When we got to Altuve.
That would be the biggest celebrity so far in terms of like national recognition outside of sports and what have you.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Dennis Quaid, who do you think's got more name recognition? Jim Parsons has been more famous recently.
Yeah.
But Dennis Quaid is like an A-list or was an A-list movie guy.
Yeah. Forever. What's the age of the person I'm asking this question to?
Yeah. Guys our age and up are going to know Dennis Quaid more so than Jim Parsons.
Here's what it says about Parsons. Because I stopped looking as soon as Altuve came up as a name. I'm like, all right, well, this name.
Yeah.
It's Altuve and Paul Wall. Parsons definitely doesn't shy away from the topic of his hometown. Whenever Houston comes up, the actor seems more than happy to give his city some love. Although Parsons hasn't been a Texans fan for his entire life, he told Sports Illustrated he's certainly come around in recent years.
Oh, in recent years. I wonder when he gave that quote.
There's a lot of 2016 stuff in this article.
Well, like Jim Parsons is 51 years old. So, yeah, he has not been a Texans fan He's not been a fan of a team that didn't exist for the first 30 years of his life.
Discovered football at age 35 and said, you know, this sport excites me. Who should I be a fan of?
I don't think Jim Parsons was probably all that into like fantasy football and everything. He was more so a theater kid.
Sketch.
There we go.
Sketch.
Amongst the youth, amongst people 25 and under, the Sketch is pretty well known.
Oh, yeah. Sketch is really well known. Yeah, okay. Dude. My sons are – I've told you that. My sons are like, Pop, you got to get Sketch on the show, man. You got to get Sketch on the show. Van Gundy, Jeff Van Gundy, big Texans fan.
Oh, okay. You know what? I'll ding that because he's a genuine.
Huge
Talks about him on NBA broadcasts.
Dude, huge Texans.
Holds him into his takes and everything. Yeah. And that's a A-list in the sports world.
Yep. Legit celeb. People know him. Beyonce question mark. Yeah, I don't know if Beyonce is a Texans fan or not.
Beyonce is in that category, right, of she's been gifted a courtside seat, she's going to be wearing that.
Right.
I don't like she wouldn't if she got courtside seats if she got front row seats or luxury box seats to a Jets game, she'd probably and they gave her a Jets hat to wear. She would wear it. If you're a celebrity that doesn't refuse to wear the team's hat, then I can't include you in it.
Someone said Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey is a UT fan. I don't know him to be a Houston Texans fan. As far as I know,
he just does. I mean, he's a fan of accepting checks to do commercials for Houston-based companies,
right?
But
right.
I don't know if he's actually a Texans fan. I'm not saying that in a bad way. He's more of a college sports guy than an NFL guy, as far as I can tell.
Travis Scott, Booker T. Booker T is a good
Booker
one.
Booker T, we'll put that.
Yeah.
A-list wrestling celebrity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Big following. Booker T. Text message. Cedric Howard, the biggest Texans fan. That's me. You're not a sir, Cedric. You seem like a nice
Cedric,
guy.
Cedric, you don't quite make our list of celebrities.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Get out.
Okay, we got to work on that, Sean.
Right.
Get together with all of your A-list Hollywood celebrity types.
I'm on it.
And get us on that list.
Hey, what's the dumbest thing about college football and the realignment this year? That the Athletic had to put together a realignment tracker because there's so many teams that are changing conferences this year.
I think for me, by far, is just all of the West Coast teams in the Big Ten.
It
just doesn't make any sense at all.
No.
The SEC, some of the SEC acquisitions don't make sense somewhat, but like none of them will ever trump Vanderbilt being in the SEC. Like that's still the all-timer. Like what? Still?
Yeah.
Really? What? And I know there's years where they're good. They just don't fit in the SEC. But no, these teams that used to only meet up in the Rose Bowl once upon a time, these Pac-12 teams being in the Big Ten now, I cannot wrap my old man brain around it. It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird. So the SEC has some things that don't make sense geographically. You know, it's called the Southeast Conference. Texas is not in the Southeast. Missouri's not in the Southeast. But at least it's still in the same clump. In that same general geographic area.
Yes.
The Big Ten doesn't have any geography in the title, but they start, you know, you associate them with like the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And when they added Rutgers, that was weird.
Yeah.
Maryland, that was weird. But now that you've added the team that used to be like if you win that conference, you're going to play you're going to play USC in the Rose Bowl or whomever else. That's strange to me. It's really, really weird.
Yeah. The thing I'm okay with the SEC not necessarily being the Southeast is at least when they've expanded, they've done it in a way that would happen in traditional wars 400 years ago, which is they marched to the contiguous areas and took them over. They grabbed a state, it was always something that was at least touching a state. It was already in the SEC. Even Missouri butts up against Arkansas for a tiny little morsel of it there. So
yeah.
So at least you had that with the Big Ten and going and getting those California and West Coast teams. You know, it felt like they just got in their fighter jets and just decided to start dropping bombs on the West Coast for no reason. You know.
The ACC is the one that's just the most fun to look at because I'm always like, oh, them. Oh, yeah. That's still – so they're still doing their thing, huh?
Okay.
I
can deal with the number in the title of the conference not matching the number of teams. We've been doing this a long time. The Big Ten has not been 10 teams since, like, 1990 when Penn State got there, or 92 or whatever it was. So I can deal with the Big Ten having 18 teams. I can deal with the Big 12 having 16 teams. I've lived in this world for a long time. I can't deal with SMU, Cal, and Stanford being a conference that has the word Atlantic in it. Atlantic Coast. Cal and Stanford are literally on the Pacific Coast.
It's and again, one that if you had told me 10 years ago, what's more likely, that the ACC doesn't exist anymore or that there's 17 teams in the ACC? I would have bet my 401k on the ACC not existing anymore.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Of course. All right, Payne and
Payne. Stanford being in the ACC.
ACC. Yeah. Stanford, Cal.
They should get all the nerd schools together and form a conference like they did with the Ivy League back in the day. Back in the day, the teams that formed the Ivy League, a lot of them were nationally relevant at the time.
Yeah.
That conference ended up withering away in terms of national relevance, obviously. Yeah. But, if they did a super nerd conference of, Stanford and Vanderbilt, Notre Dame.
Northwestern.
Some of those. That actually might be – that could be kind of interesting.
Northwestern, Duke would all be in there probably. Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
Anything that has a tech in its name,
that's right. Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. Payne and Pendergast with you. We're getting some interesting texts on our topic here. Celebrity fans for the Texans. Some good ones, actually.
The Big 12 is the one that doesn't rub me the wrong way as much.
Yeah.
And I don't. I guess because they've still kept kind of a core of. I guess because, you know why? It's because of our central location. It doesn't feel as weird when you're pulling people from all parts of the country.
Yes.
Even though some of them are very far-flung, it still feels a little bit more like, okay, this is the Big 12 has been an evolving conference since the inception.
The Big 12 was born from marrying the Big 8 and the Southwest Conference back in the day. You know, we're used to that with the Big 12.
Yeah.
All right, big one tonight for the Astros. This is a big one considering where they are pitching-wise right now. We will get to the Astros, get you set up for that, and a whole lot more. We'll talk to the guys on In the Loop. It's coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, got to keep it going tonight, Astros. 10 out of 11. Spencer Arrighetti on the mound tonight for the Astros. Yes. Yeah.
This is the reinvented Spencer Arrighetti that I'm here for, Sean. Chandler Rome, we were talking earlier about how Bregman had had some advice for Arrighetti. But also, Chandler Parsons wrote a story this morning.
Chandler Rome, yeah.
Damn it. Boy, it's been a bad day for me on the names.
Okay.
Thank you. Chandler Rome. Okay, a white guy that was born in 1995. There's
Same
a good
thing.
Chance his name was Chandler,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His parents watched a lot of Friends or something back in the day. So
they both gotten people angry at some point, you know?
Yeah. So Chandler Rome wrote an article about how part of Hunter Brown's turnaround, you know, obviously has been him adding the sinker to his arsenal. And that came about when Alex Bregman, on a plane ride home, just encouraged him to start throwing the sinker more.
Dude.
Or at all. He hadn't thrown it since college. since high school. So, yet another reason that Bregman is one of those things he adds to the team that you don't necessarily see on the box score.
He might have saved his career, man. You know, which also makes me think, if Bregman's giving that advice, I'm like, where the hell are the pitching coaches?
I don't know. Yeah, I try not to overthink that stuff.
It just crosses my mind. The pitching has improved since the beginning of the year, so they're off the hook. At the beginning of the year, I think I might have even said on the show at one point, my feeling was, all right, when it was really bad. I mean, you go back and look at some of the numbers in April. I mean, obviously they were 7-19 to start the season, but the pitching was abysmal. Every single pitcher had at least one or more instances of giving up five, six, seven, in the case of Hunter Brown, 9 runs in an inning somewhere along the way. It was just comedically bad type of stuff. And my take at the time, Seth, was, okay, if this is how this season is going to go, I don't think they're going to fire Joe Espada, but they're going to extract the pound of flesh by getting rid of somebody.
Yeah.
And I thought it might be the pitching coaches. I thought they might be the sacrificial lambs in the whole thing, you know, because the pitching was so bad at the beginning of the year. But it's better now. It's better now. And Spencer Arrighetti going tonight. His 5.68 ERA. But last I checked, a 0.00 ERA in his last one start against Colorado. So this is a big one. Can Spencer Arrighetti build on what he did last time?
All you got to do is, follow Hunter Brown along to a five-game stretch where you only allow one run and enter the pantheon of pitchers who have had such incredible stretches like that. But the Hunter Brown is one of four other Astros pitchers who have had a sub-0.30 ERA in a five-start span. Jim Deshaies, Nolan Ryan, and J.R. Richard.
Yep.
Oh, so it's only three other guys have done it a total of five times.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's only four Astros pitchers who have done that.
Jose Berrios.
That's all you got to do.
That's it. Jose Berrios tonight for Toronto. He's good, so we'll see what happens.
Is this an earlier game today, too? I know it's not a day game, but is it a 6:07 start?
Okay. It's a 6:07 Houston time, but it's Eastern time zone, so yeah.
Right, but it's earlier. It's earlier
for Houstonians.
Yeah, I don't know,
but not a day game is what I meant.
Like, as I said, it's not a day game, but it's an earlier game than typical.
Gotcha, yeah. Yep.
Jesus, pay attention, man.
Sorry, dude.
Chandler Smithson.
We're getting a few more people texting in. Is Jim Nance a Texan fan? We have people texting in who the Texan celebrity fans are.
I don't think he's necessarily a Texans fan. He's a Coug. He's a University of Houston fan, and he wears that on his sleeve.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to the NFL, just through a career of, just covering the entire league and everything, I doubt he wears it on his sleeve, especially for a team that he didn't grow up with here. I don't think he's necessary. I wouldn't classify him as a Texans fan.
Even if he were, he probably would need to steer clear of that.
He's a fan of Houstonians in general.
Yes. He supports you, the Houstonian. If you're listening
to
your car.
He's a fan of you, the Houston fan, but not you. He's a fan of you, the Houston Texans fan, but I wouldn't guess he's an actual Texans fan.
That's right. You were talking about this during the break. You and I were talking about the Rockets during the break. And it's strange. The odds to win the championship next year, the odds for the 2025 NBA title, if we take them at face value, the Rockets are actually viewed worse by the betting community in terms of how many teams they're behind in the West than they finished at the end of the season, which is crazy because they were the 11th seed at the end of the season. We will concede that. That's just a fact. But they were an 11th seed that finished the season on a 15-7 run down the stretch. You know, like they were literally a 500 basketball team at the end of the year, and they're bringing everybody back from that team. And that was a young team that presumably the important pieces are going to take a step up this year.
Right.
And they
just
added shooting.
Yeah, I think there's a whole, I mean, when...
Cracker McBuckets,
The NBA is fueled by stars, and for good reason. I mean, that's largely, when you start talking championships, it's hard to do it without three genuine studs on your roster. And I think that there are a lot of people that look at the Rockets and think... I think in their minds, yes, it's definitely a possibility that some of these guys could develop into those true stars, but it's not right there in front of you right now, so you're going out on a limb to project them to be a championship caliber this year. So that seems a problem. I'm not offended, Sean. I'm not offended by Vegas.
I don't expect them. These are the teams in order. I'm just going down the list. OKC is number two. Talk about that for a rebuild, man. You trade Paul George for a player who's better than Paul George, 10 years younger than Paul George, and five first-round picks. I know he wasn't better than Paul George when they made the trade, but the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has turned into an MVP candidate. That's like Deshaun Watson-level trade-level stuff, like beyond that, actually. Like, you literally got back an MVP, potentially, for Paul George, and you got a bunch of draft capital that you can go get other guys with. I don't think that the Rockets are catching OKC. I don't think they're catching Denver, not this year. Minnesota, Dallas, those four.
Dallas would probably be higher on this today because this list came out before the Klay Thompson news was reported.
Yep.
So I'm guessing Dallas, after being in the finals and adding Klay Thompson, is probably going to be a little bit higher.
Might bump up a little bit, yeah. I think those are the four where I'm like, all right, that's especially with Klay going to the Mavericks. I know he's not Klay from 5 years ago, but he fills a need for them for sure. Those are the four that I feel like, all right, it would be a tough chore. Like, if they displace one of those four teams and become a four seed, then this rebuild is in a massive HOV lane speedway right now. I think you can, I can cobble together scenarios in my head where the Rockets are better than the counting upward from them. Sacramento, the Clippers, the Suns, Memphis. Memphis is back up there because Ja Morant is back. New Orleans, Golden State, and the Lakers. Like I can see the other side of the argument, too, that those are all teams that are potentially better than the Rockets. I just think the Rockets have a lot going for them that's getting ignored. Year two of Udoka and Van Vliet kind of running the show. They were hot down the stretch. They did a lot of that down the stretch without Alperen Şengün, who had been their best player throughout the season. A little like the Astros without Kyle Tucker.
Mm.
And you picked up Cracker McBuckets to drop threes on people.
Looking at this realistically, because this would go into, okay, what's the likelihood that Kevin Durant would want to come here? Rockets, if they're 80-1 to win the championship right now, is Kevin Durant worth, you know?
Oh, where does he put them?
Like, does he move them that far up? Does the addition of one player, even though his name is Kevin Durant, but also even as he's at an advanced age, does that move him up into the top what? Where would you?
Where are they now? They're probably like in the top 18 or 19. I think he gets him into the top. Like, again, betting is about perception in the public mostly. Yeah. So I think it probably pushes top 10 for them, maybe.
Yeah, I guess in my mind, I'm wondering, like, okay, what about the perception of Kevin Durant himself? Like, does he look at the Rockets and think, oh, yeah, they're just a me away from being a championship contender?
This is a good topic to segue here because B. Scott has the H-Town Hoops podcast that he does. Have you heard what we're talking about here, B. Scott?
No, fill me in. I was just walking in.
So the Rockets are, according to the odds makers, the 11 seed they finished last year in the West, right?
Yeah.
Just outside the play-in. They are the 12th ranked team on the odds board to win the title out of the Western Conference. So there are more teams ahead of them now in the eyes of the odds makers and the betting public to win the championship than there were when they finished last year.
Yeah, so they've taken a step back.
According to the odds makers, do you agree with this? Do you think there's teams in front of them that feel very catchable?
So the entire issue is the logjam to begin with, right? So it's like there wasn't a discernible difference between 1-5 or 1-6, and then you got to the end of it, it wasn't a big difference between 7-10. So like it's really just a logjam, and I think that betting line would be discouraging for a Rockets fan because you're like, hey, we're supposed to be. You know, we made the biggest jump in the league last year, so you're expecting to make another one this year, and that's going to be really contingent on guys that are already here. Like, I was just reading about how they're, you know, staying put, like being real quiet and patient in free agency, and how that's like that, like, you know, that's a strategy apparently. Like, that's what they're doing this on purpose. And so, like, if you're looking at that betting line, you're saying, okay, well, something's got to give here. They think they're good. Everybody else is looking at them and saying, hey, you're not good enough to compete with the upper echelon in the West.
If this is where they're being viewed,
mm-hmm.
their season win total in Vegas is going to be less than what they ended up winning
last year.
Roughly
the same, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably, the 12th seed, you know, if the odds makers think they're the 12th best team in the Western Conference, then it's really hard to put a number out there of 41.5.
I'm curious. At least one, I'm guessing one team jumped them from the standings, from the odds to the standings.
Yeah, Memphis gets Ja Morant back.
Yeah, there you go.
You know,
Memphis gets Ja Morant back, and you get year two of Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs.
San Antonio's behind them, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like it's just a crowded field.
Yeah,
you know, it's a crowded field. But I'm more interested in what they think. Like, what is that much different about the West? I mean, the West is still. You know, like there hasn't been like a tremendous amount of
Oklahoma City
I mean, but they were the number one seed. I mean,
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78 million pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
That's strange to me. It's really, really weird.
Yeah, the thing I'm okay with the SEC not necessarily being the Southeast is at least when they've expanded, they've done it in a way that would happen in traditional wars 400 years ago, which is they marched to the contiguous areas and took them over. They grabbed a state, it was always something that was at least touching a state that was already in the SEC. Even Missouri butts up against Arkansas for a tiny little morsel of it there. So
yeah.
So at least you had that with the, you know, with the Big Ten and going and getting those California and West Coast teams. You know, it felt like they just got in their fighter jets and just decided to start dropping bombs on the West Coast for no reason, you know?
The ACC is the one that's just the most fun to look at because I'm always like, oh, them. Oh, yeah, that's still, well, so they're still doing their thing, huh?
Okay. I can deal with the number in the title of the conference not matching the number of teams. We've been doing this a long time. The Big Ten has not been 10 teams since, like, 1990 when Penn State got there. Or 92 or whatever it was. So I can deal with the Big Ten having 18 teams. I can deal with the Big 12 having 16 teams. I've lived in this world for a long time. I can't deal with SMU, Cal, and Stanford being a conference that has the word Atlantic in it. Atlantic Coast. Cal and Stanford are literally on the Pacific Coast.
If you had told me 10 years ago, what's more likely, that the ACC doesn't exist anymore or that there's 17 teams in the ACC, I would have bet my 401k on the ACC not existing anymore.
Of course.
Anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Of course. All right, Payne and
Stanford being in the ACC.
ACC. Wow. Yeah. Stanford, Cal.
They should get all the nerd schools together and form a conference like they did with the Ivy League back in the day. Back in the day, the teams that formed the Ivy League, a lot of them were nationally relevant at the time.
Yeah.
That conference ended up withering away in terms of national relevance, obviously. Yeah. But, like, yeah, if they did a super nerd conference of, like, Stanford and Vanderbilt, Notre Dame.
Northwestern.
Some of those. That could be kind of interesting.
Northwestern, Duke would all be in there probably. Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
Anything that has a tech in its name, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right. Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. Payne and Pendergast with you. We're getting some interesting texts on our topic here. Celebrity fans for the Texans. Some good ones, actually.
The Big 12 is the one that doesn't rub me the wrong way as much.
Yeah.
And I don't. I guess because they've still kept kind of a core of... I guess because, you know why? It's because of our central location. It doesn't feel as weird when you're pulling people from... from all parts of the country.
Yes.
Even though some of them are very far flung, it still feels a little bit more like, okay, this is the Big 12 has been an evolving conference since the inception.
The Big 12 was born from marrying the Big 8 and the Southwest Conference back in the day. You know, yeah, like we're used to that with the Big 12.
Yeah.
All right, big one tonight for the Astros. This is a big one considering where they are pitching-wise right now. We will get to the Astros, get you set up for that, and a whole lot more. We'll talk to the guys on In the Loop. It's coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, gotta keep it going tonight, Astros. 10 out of 11. Spencer Arrighetti on the mound tonight for the Astros. Yes. Yeah.
This is the reinvented Spencer Arrighetti that I'm here for, Sean. Chandler Rome, we were talking earlier about how Bregman had had some advice for Arrighetti. But also, Chandler Parsons wrote a story this morning.
Chandler Rome, yeah.
Damn it. Boy, it's been a bad day for me on the names.
Okay.
Thank you. Chandler Rome. Okay, a white guy that was born in like 1995. There's
Same
a good
thing.
Chance his name was Chandler,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
His parents watched a lot of Friends or something back in the day. So
they both gotten people angry at some point, you know?
Yeah. So Chandler Rome wrote an article about how part of Hunter Brown's turnaround, you know, obviously has been him adding the sinker to his arsenal. And that came about when Alex Bregman, on a plane ride home, just encouraged him to start throwing the sinker more.
Dude.
Or at all. He hadn't thrown it since college. since high school. So, yet another reason that Bregman is one of those, it's one of those things he adds to the team that you don't necessarily see on the box score.
He might have saved his career, man. You know, like you.
Yeah.
Which also makes me think, if Bregman's given that advice, I'm like, where the hell are the pitching coaches?
I don't know. Yeah, I try not to overthink that stuff.
It just crosses my mind. The pitching has improved since the beginning of the year, so they're off the hook. At the beginning of the year, I think I might have even said on the show at one point, like my feeling was, all right, when it was really bad. I mean, you go back and look at some of the numbers in April. I mean, obviously they were 7-19 to start the season, but the pitching was abysmal. Like every single pitcher had at least one or more instances of giving up like 5, 6, 7, in the case of Hunter Brown, 9 runs in an inning somewhere along the way. Like it was just comedically bad type of stuff. And my take at the time, Seth, was, okay, if this is how this season is going to go, I don't think they're going to fire Joe Espada, but they're going to extract the pound of flesh by getting rid of somebody.
Yeah.
And I thought it might be the pitching coaches. I thought they might be the sacrificial lambs in the whole thing, you know, that because the pitching was so bad at the beginning of the year. But it's better now. It's better now. And Spencer Arrighetti going tonight. His 5.68 ERA. But last I checked, a 0.00 ERA in his last one start against Colorado. So this is a big one. Can Spencer Arrighetti build on what he did last time?
All you got to do is, follow Hunter Brown along to a 5-game stretch where you only allow one run and enter the pantheon of pitchers who have had such incredible stretches like that. But Hunter Brown is one of 4 other Astros pitchers who have had a sub-0.30 ERA in a 5-start span. Jim Deshaies, Nolan Ryan, and J.R. Richard.
Yep.
Oh, so it's only 3 other guys
that
have done it a total of 5 times.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's only 4 Astros pitchers who have done that.
Jose Berrios.
That's all you got to do.
That's it. Jose Berrios tonight for Toronto. He's good, so we'll see what happens.
Is this an earlier game today, too? I know it's not a day game, but is it a 6:07 start?
It's a 6:07 Houston time, but it's Eastern time zone, so yeah.
Right, but it's earlier.
It's earlier for Houstonians. But not a day game is what I meant.
Like, I said, it's not a day game, but it's an earlier game than typical.
Gotcha, yeah. Yep.
Jesus, pay attention, man.
Sorry, dude.
Chandler Schmidt.
We're getting a few more people texting in. Is Jim Nance a Texan fan? We have people texting in who the Texans celebrity fans are.
I don't think he's necessarily a Texans fan. He's a Coug. He's a University of Houston fan, and he wears that on his sleeve.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to the NFL, just through a career of, you know, just covering the entire league and everything. I doubt he wears it on his sleeve, especially for a team that he didn't grow up with here. I don't think he's necessary. I wouldn't classify him as a Texans fan.
Even if he were, he probably would need to steer clear of that.
He's a fan of Houstonians in general.
Yes. He supports you, the Houstonian. If you're listening
he's
to your
car. He's a fan of you, the Houston fan, but not you. He's a fan of you, the Houston Texans fan, but I wouldn't guess he's an actual Texans fan.
That's right. You were talking about this during the break. You and I were talking about the Rockets during the break. And it's strange. The odds to win the championship next year, the odds for the 2025 NBA title, if we take them at face value, the Rockets are actually viewed worse by the betting community in terms of how many teams they're behind in the West than they finished at the end of the season, which is crazy because they were the 11th seed at the end of the season. We will concede that. That's just a fact. But they were an 11th seed that finished the season on a 15-7 run down the stretch. You know, like they were literally a 500 basketball team at the end of the year, and they're bringing everybody back from that team. And that was a young team that presumably the important pieces are going to take a step up this year.
Right.
And they just added shooting.
Yeah, I think there's a whole, I mean, when...
Cracker, you know, McBuckets,
The NBA is fueled by stars, and for good reason. I mean, that's largely, when you start talking championships, it's hard to do it without three genuine studs on your roster. And I think that there are a lot of people that look at the Rockets and think... I think in their minds, yes, it's definitely a possibility that some of these guys could develop into those true stars, but it's not right there in front of you right now, so you're going out on a limb to project them to be a championship caliber this year. So that seems a problem. I'm not offended, Sean. I'm not offended by Vegas.
I don't expect them. I'm just, these are the teams in order. I'm just going down the list. OKC is number two. Talk about that for a rebuild, man. You trade Paul George for a player who's better than Paul George, 10 years younger than Paul George, and 5 first-round picks. I know he wasn't better than Paul George when they made the trade, but the Shea Gilgeous-Alexander has turned into an MVP candidate. That's like Deshaun Watson level trade level stuff, like beyond that, actually. Like, you literally got back an MVP, potentially, for Paul George, and you got a bunch of draft capital that you can go get other guys with. I don't think that Rockets are catching OKC. I don't think they're catching Denver, not this year. Minnesota, Dallas, those four.
Dallas would probably be higher on this today because this list came out before Klay Thompson news was reported.
Yep.
So I'm guessing Dallas, after being in the finals and adding Klay Thompson, is probably going to be a little bit higher.
Might bump up a little bit, yeah. I think those are the four where I'm like, all right, that's especially with Klay going to the Mavericks. I know he's not Klay from 5 years ago, but he fills a need for them for sure. Those are the four that I feel like, all right, it would be a tough chore. Like if they displace one of those four teams and become a four seed, then this rebuild is in a massive HOV lane speedway right now. I think you can I can cobble together scenarios in my head where the Rockets are better than the counting upward from them. Sacramento, the Clippers, the Suns, Memphis. Memphis is back up there because Ja Morant is back. New Orleans, Golden State, and the Lakers. Like I can see the other side of the argument too, that those are all teams that are potentially better than the Rockets. I just think the Rockets have a lot going for them that's getting ignored. Year two of Udoka and Van Vliet kind of running the show. They were hot down the stretch. They did a lot of that down the stretch without Alperen Şengün, you know, who had been their best player throughout the season. A little like the Astros without Kyle Tucker. And you picked up Cracker McBuckets to drop threes on people.
Looking at this realistically, because this would go into, okay, what's the likelihood that Kevin Durant would want to come here? Rockets, if they're 80-1 to win the championship right now, is Kevin Durant worth, you know...
Oh, where does he put them?
Like, does he move them that far up? Does the addition of one player, even though his name is Kevin Durant... but also, even as he's at an advanced age, does that move him up into the top what? Where would you
put probably
him?
Like top, where are they now? They're probably like in the top 18 or 19. I think he gets him into the top. Like, again, betting is about perception in the public mostly. Yeah. So I think it probably pushes top 10 for them, maybe?
Yeah, I guess in my mind I'm wondering, like, okay, what about the perception of Kevin Durant himself? Like, does he look at the Rockets and think, oh, yeah, they're just a me away from being a championship contender?
This is actually a good topic to segue here because B. Scott has the H-Town Hoops podcast that he does. Have you heard what we're talking about here, B. Scott?
No, fill me in. I was just walking in.
So the Rockets are, according to the odds makers, the 11 seed they finished last year in the West, right?
Yeah.
Just outside the play-in. They are the 12th ranked team on the odds board to win the title out of the Western Conference. So there are more teams ahead of them now in the eyes of the odds makers and the betting public to win the championship than there were when they finished last year.
Yeah, so they've taken a step back.
According to the odds makers, do you agree with this?
Do you think
there's teams in front of them that feel very catchable?
So the entire issue is the logjam to begin with, right? So it's like there wasn't a discernible difference between 1-5 or 1-6, and then you got to the end of it. It wasn't a big difference between 7-10. So like it's really just a logjam, and I think that betting line would be discouraging for a Rockets fan because you're like, hey, we're supposed to be, you know, we made the biggest jump in the league last year, so you're expecting to make another one this year, and that's going to be really contingent on guys that are already here. Like I was just reading about how they're, you know, staying put, like being real quiet and patient in free agency, and how that's like that, like, you know, that's a strategy apparently. Like that's what they're doing this on purpose. And so, like, if you're looking at that betting line, you're saying, okay, well, something's got to give here. They think they're good. Everybody else is looking at them and saying, hey, you're not good enough to compete with the upper echelon in the West.
If this is where they're being viewed,
mm-hmm.
their season win total in Vegas is going to be less than what they ended up winning
last year.
Roughly
the same, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably, the 12th seed, if the odds makers think they're the 12th best team in the Western Conference, then it's really hard to put a number out there of 41.5 for
wins. I'm curious, at least one, I'm guessing one team jumped them from the standings, from the odds to the standings.
Yeah, Memphis gets Ja Morant back.
Yeah, there you go.
You know,
Memphis gets Ja Morant back, and you get year two of Victor Wembanyama. And the Spurs.
San Antonio's behind them, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like it's just a crowded field.
Yeah,
you know, it's a crowded field. But I'm more interested in what they think. Like, what is that much different about the West? I mean, the West is still, you know, like there hasn't been like a tremendous amount of
Oklahoma City
I mean, but they were the number one seed. I mean, there hasn't been a ton of power shift change or anything other than what Sean mentioned with Ja Morant coming back.
Yeah.
What's the over-under on Ja Morant days suspended in 2024-25?
He's learned his lesson, Seth.
Yeah. I think so.
He's learned his lesson, yeah.
I mean, they're relatively easy to correct problems. Like, it's not like he's trying to quit cocaine or something. It's like, no, just don't wave guns around on the internet, okay?
Yeah, stop having guns.
Can you just not wave guns around on the internet?
Stop having guns.
Put the guns down, put the phone down, log off every now and then.
I don't know, man, as a Rocket fan.
Sean, he doesn't have to stop having guns. He just has to stop brandishing them.
Yeah, but the easiest...
He's Yosemite Sam out there.
If you don't have them, then you can't brandish them. You know what I mean? Like, you know, cut it off at the choke point.
I didn't realize you were anti-Second Amendment. I'm sorry, Sean. I'm sorry.
And here we are.
That's how it'll get construed. Now I feel like Hawk Tua girl, who's apparently not a Trumper.
I did not expect to come in here and Ja Morant to be the symbol of Second Amendment rights.
Can you guys remember a turnaround as big as Hunter Brown has had in a single half of a season?
It is tremendous.
He's gone literally from the worst pitch. He was literally the worst pitcher in baseball.
He was.
He's literally the best pitcher in baseball right now. It's crazy.
So one of the things that I thought was really cool was in The Athletic, Chandler Rome talked to pitching coach and some of the people in the clubhouse who were acknowledging, hey, tough decisions were going to have to be made at one point. Like, we were talking about this here on the station in our different shows, and it wasn't just talk with us. Yeah. It was an actual thought process for them of, hey, is, you know, when we get healthy. Now, it turns out they ended up going backwards in terms of health. Like, we thought they were going to get healthier. They got less healthy. But at that time, it was like, hey, when they get their guys back, Hunter Brown might be the odd man out.
Yeah, for sure.
And then fast forward to now, and it's a completely different narrative, to the point where last week I'm talking about, hey, by the end of the year, he's going to be their ace, and I still believe that.
On a team that has Justin Verlander and Framber Valdez, mm-hmm. and I know Verlander's on the IL, which plays into what I'm saying here, if a playoff series had to start next week...
Game one.
And Ronel Blanco's probably game two.
Yeah.
You know, unless you want to go righty, lefty, righty kind of thing, you know, or like, you know, different styles of pitchers.
All things being equal, game one.
Yeah.
Well, so that's one of the things I like the most about this, though, about the development of the season, is that, hey, if the Astros figure this thing out, you do feel like they've got three guys that could start a series for you.
Sure.
Or three guys that could go a seven-game series for you between Blanco, Hunter Brown, and obviously Fromber's going to start one of those games.
Yeah.
So there's at least three guys, and then whatever reinforcement that you might get throughout that period or between now and then is just a bonus.
It's those three guys, and there's the potential that you get Verlander, Luis Garcia, and Lance McCullers back.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's the weirdest team when it comes to starting pitching ever, because you can make an argument that they need to be desperately going and getting starting pitching,
yes.
or you can make the argument that they don't need to do anything, just be patient and see what these guys are when they come back in July.
I would lean the first one.
Yeah,
I would
go. Yes.
Well, it depends on what you got to give up, though. Yeah, you know, like it depends if the guys you have are pitching the way they are, mm-hmm. then you might be able to muck your way through it without having to give up prospects.
Yeah, but what would not be worth a chance at extending this window or creating an expectation for this season that did not exist a month ago?
Yeah. I'll let you guys talk about that.
We're
1 minute into your show already.
All right.
Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies, and you can pry my Crossman air rifle out of my cold, dead hands. I'll tell you that much, Sean.
I had so many air rifle questions. all right, we're done. We're out of time.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a great day to venture out in a spacious and capable Toyota SUV, like the new RAV4. With available all-wheel drive, it can go just about anywhere. And with plenty of passenger and cargo space, you'll go from morning carpool to weekend road trip without missing a beat. Plus, with available features like wireless charging and a touchscreen interface, your Toyota RAV4 will keep you connected no matter where you're going. Or check out a spacious Highlander. With seating for up to 8, it's a hub for family adventure. You'll drive in comfort and style with available heated and ventilated seats and all the latest tech. And with available hybrid models, your new Highlander can save you tons on gas. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day. So don't wait. Buy a RAV4 or Highlander today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps.
and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.